This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 58, recorded on January 12th, 2012. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a blustery, very cold. A cold front came through Bellevue, Nebraska, and I've been saying that winter's on its way, and it sure feels like it today. Little snow and blowing snow, and that's always fun. Of course, we publish this show each week and post it to the AverageGuy.tv with very well done show notes. Although Andrew, I've done them the last 3 weeks. I'm anxious for you to get back in the on the chain gang and work.
Yeah,
on
I know. I've been kind of slack the last couple of weeks. You know what, with Christmas and holidays and
yeah,
stuff
a little
like
bit
that.
Of vacation, and certainly oh, yeah. I don't quite do the job that you do. But I appreciate when you do those show notes, and they're posted out at theaverageguy.tv. You can contact the show, podcast at theaverageguy.tv, or send us a note on Twitter. I've done more Twittering this week with CES coverage as well than I've done in my whole life. I've probably sent out more tweets this week than I have in all weeks combined since I started using Twitter. You can find me on Twitter just at Jay Collison. You can also find us on Facebook by searching, or Facebook and iTunes by searching The Average Guy Podcast, and please, if you're on iTunes and that's how you download us, leave a comment out there if you like the show. If you don't like the show, don't leave a comment. But if you do like the show, leave a comment, and that always helps with our search rankings. We also have all the RSS feeds or iTunes buttons that you could need to automatically download that podcast to your iPod, iPad, whatever device you have, your Android tab or phone. Just look for the buttons on the right that say subscribe to the podcast, and you can get those automatically. All right. It's been a busy week of podcasting. CES came and went. It's actually over. This is my last podcast of a 25 or 26-hour podcasting marathon. Not all done in one day, but certainly a long time to podcast. And tonight I've got three of my favorite guys in the whole world out there. First is Andrew Morris. Andrew comes to us from Melbourne, Australia, and straight off a holiday. Andrew, how are you?
Oh, I wish I was still on holiday.
Don't we all?
I mean, I was majorly bandwidth challenged while I was away at my in-laws' place, but I wish I was still there.
Yeah, well, you got into the show. Yeah, yeah. You didn't miss a show, and we were able to get you in each time, and so it wasn't too bad. What was your favorite part of the holiday?
Certainly not coming back to work. well, where my parents-in-law live, they're up on the north coast of New South Wales, so they're in a very big estuary system. So we did a bit of fishing. Actually, we did a lot of fishing, and they bought a kayak, and so we did some fishing from the kayak, and yeah, just really kicking back in the sun, bit of surfing, a lot
nice.
Of swimming in the surf. Yeah,
nice. Good.
Came back with a tan.
I like it. It's it's unfortunate it's summer there for you.
Well, it's unfortunate for you guys.
Well, that's what I mean. What else is important? You know what they say about Americans? We're U.S.-centric, so we only think about ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Anyways. Okay.
Sometimes.
I also have with me tonight Christian Johnson. Christian is the smart guy behind bios-mods.com and is the resident expert on just about anything. Christian, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Good week. Finally getting some cooler weather, which is unusual, seeing as how Buffalo is normally an icebox by now. But
yeah.
We are getting another snow wave before it goes back up in the 40s, which is where it's been for most of the winter, which is pretty unusual. So getting ready for midterms, getting some computer projects knocked out, working on a SLI patch with the developer of HyperSLI, finishing up the AP Computer Science midterm, so there's a lot going on, but
nice.
We're doing all right.
Very good. Well, glad to have you out tonight, and thanks for taking the time to do it. Also with us tonight, a guy who's very familiar with all tech and all photography all the time. From he runs a podcast over at jpegtoraw.com, and Mike, welcome to the podcast, and congratulations on a huge show this week.
Well, thank you very much. We had a great guest.
Yeah, and 151 guests, at least, that's what you tracked at one point, right? It could have been more than that with people coming and going.
Yeah.
That's very successful.
The max at one time was 151, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good thing you got verified over 50.
Yes. I got nervous early on when we got up to in the 40s. that was going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's not the first time.
You helped me with
that. Yeah. Yeah. It's good to have you on. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
We've had one in the 50s, one in the mid 60s, and 108, and then this week, 151. So it's not a straight track. We've been kind of all over the place, and a lot of that is our guest that's helping us out.
Yeah. Well, you do a great job of running that. If you're interested in photography, and Mike, today I was interviewing someone at work, and she was a photographer, or at least she mentioned that in her resume, and I said, Canon or Nikon?
And?
She said...
Nikon, of course.
She said Nikon. And I said JPEG or
she would have said Canon.
I said JPEG or RAW, and she said, I can't remember what she said. It could have been Canon. I said JPEG or RAW, and she said, she said RAW, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's a freelancer and had done some work for a local newspaper and shoots in RAW, just a hobby stuff. But very cool. That's what your podcast is about. It's about photography and what you guys do.
It's about photography. It's not just about JPEG versus RAW. It is a question I ask almost everybody comes on the show, and you'd be surprised. It's not every professional photographer shoots in just RAW. But I think some of them that don't maybe are worried about other things. But I think they all understand that is the best way to get quality out of it. And I actually made a post tonight in our Facebook group about the difference between RAW and JPEG and why you'd want to shoot RAW.
And why would I want to shoot in RAW? Oh, don't give it away. Send them out to your website, right? So they can read it?
Yeah, it's actually the Facebook group, JPEG to RAW Facebook group.
Yeah, which I officially unsubscribed from because I got too much spam.
Did you really unsubscribe from it?
No, I'm just kidding. I shut off the notifications, though.
Well, you know, you can draft people into those things.
It's a very active group. You guys, I mean, if you are into photography, it is a great Facebook group to be a part of. It's just, I signed up for it early and I'm not as into photography as everybody else. And I just disappointed when all the notifications I was getting was for your site.
I think when you signed up, it was me and it was you.
I might've been one of the second or third in there. But anyways, thanks for coming on the show, Mike.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it. Alluded to it earlier. This week has been a lot of CES coverage. Of course, CES is the Consumer Electronics Show. Hosted every early January, usually the first week in January in Las Vegas. And a huge event by any stretch of the imagination. Generally, it pulls 100,000. Speaking of that, here's Dave McCabe live from CES. Dave, how are you?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you really good. I've kind of torn down my rig. So just wanted to thank you and thank everybody out for watching the IsleSafe demo.
Yeah, it was good. It worked out really well. It was very good.
I just want to let you know the power of social media works. The one of the IsleSafe guys' wives, one of the wives of the guys that works at IsleSafe watched it while we did it. Because obviously he said, "Hey, honey, someone's live streaming it. Just tune in."
Nice. That's awesome. Very cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of you guys for doing that.
Yeah, good. It was a good demo. We could see the lightning just clear as day.
Really?
Yeah.
It was all the other demos, Jim, I've been, it's nothing. You just look at it and, check this out. The Hey Joes, look.
Hi.
Are they your groupies, Dave?
I got all the black time. No worries. But all the other demos we've seen, you know, Tim.
Yeah.
You're never in any danger. You're just watching things get torn up, blown up, drowned, squished. I was concerned. I'm in the front row. And there is that bolt of electricity, within a foot and a half of my face.
Yeah.
When he came over by us and put his leg out and it bounced off that other cage that right in front of us. You could see it, you could smell it, you could hear it. It was creepy. It really was.
Did you kind of feel it around you, kind of just the extra energy kind of around you?
I think that was just my nerves. Maybe that was the hair raising up on my neck or my nerves. But yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Well, it really showed up pretty well, Dave, and I'll be moving that video footage off my site and over to yours later on tonight, so folks can go to homeservershow.com and view it again or see it right now at theaverageguy.tv.
Okay, let me know, because, yeah, I want to definitely do walk. Okay, yeah, I want to do a post. These guys, a big post.
Yeah.
Walking back to circus.
Yeah. Hey, so you got some poker going on tonight? You got a poker game going on tonight?
Poker at 7. Send everybody to that blog post of mine, especially the home server show crew. No, thanks, man. And, we got Gigabyte. I think Asus is out there. A lot of computer manufacturers are doing that.
So we'll go live again at 9. You want to do it right around 9, or is that you want to go a little early?
Let's, I don't know, let's go 10 after 9, your time.
Okay, well, I'll have the stream up and running at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 Central, and we'll just be waiting for you.
Okay.
There's the Vegas skyline. We should have the Bad Boys music playing right now.
bad boys.
Ah, so I'm winded.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was good, Dave. That was a good demo.
I'm also going to get the video from Andrew so I can have some high quality video. I actually want my wife to see it. I thought it was cool.
Right.
You know, the biggest scare was I had my backpack on. Everybody's putting their backpacks in this Faraday cage to protect it. And it was just a rouse. It was just a stunt. And I forgot I had my MacBook Air in my backpack. I'm like, oh, crap. I better put this in. So mine was the last one in, right? So while we were watching the demo, somebody switched it out and put a big cup of water, grounded it with that cable, of course. And then Rob tripped on it, and the Faraday cage drops in. Well, the cage is just mesh.
Yeah.
And then he picks it back out, and it's just streaming water. I don't know how good you guys saw that, because at that point I'm thinking, crap, my bag was in last.
Oh.
There goes my MacBook Air. And his point was, in most of the time, it's caused by humans, data loss. So you need to be ready for anything. So I thought that was awesome. That needs to be the point of my post.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the staffing. There's the win, which I was at last October. I wish I was there now. Ew.
Hey, Dave, it's 12 degrees with blowing snow right here, right now. I just want you to know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to the family today. She said they all got outside in the snowplow. Yeah. I have a Jeep with a snowplow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, so.
I told her, I said, I'm sorry, honey. I wish I was there to help you through this. Not really.
Yeah, no. No, nobody's glad when they're in Vegas to be in snow.
Right. Okay, I'll let you go, Jim.
All right, Dave, I'll catch up with you at 9 Pacific for some poker.
Thanks, everybody else. I see you guys.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Have a good one, Dave.
Bye, Dave.
See you, boys.
All right, the one David McCabe from homeservershow.com and checking in from Vegas after the IOSafe demo. He always, whenever I'm talking about Vegas or I mention his name, he always has this weird knack to just come into the live stream at that point. It happened all week long. It was weird, I'd say. And then Dave, and then bam, he'd pop into the live stream. And, just from a technology point of view this week, we've done some amazing things with an iPhone and live stream and using Google Hangouts. I have been surprised. Most of you guys have watched the live coverage at one point or another. With the exception of the pixelization of the video, and it's okay. You get the point. And you don't really need high-quality video for stuff like that for the most part. But it's worked really well. I mean, we had some problems with live stream yesterday and today around 2 p.m. Central, where it seemed like live stream was struggling to keep up, and we were losing some bandwidth. But guys, you saw the video. I mean, that for nothing. I mean, that used to cost networks thousands.
Hundreds of thousands
to pull off stuff like that, and we pulled it off fairly well for nothing.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's good.
That's crazy. And you know what? That's average guy tech, right? I mean, that is that's tech the average guy can do. It's your phone.
Exactly.
It's Google Hangout. It's a little bit of software on a PC and a camera, right?
And live stream, which is free.
Yeah. So if it's just crazy. Anybody who's not using some of the social video features that come, and Christian, we've talked about this before. I know you do homework across it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, collaboration that way. I'm really encouraging the enterprise environment to go all video all the time. I mean, it increases productivity and increases awareness when you're seeing the other person, because it's just too easy on a conference call to goof around.
Yeah. And, you know, people wondering where, you know, I'm not going to be at CES. Why would I need that? Didn't you live stream your wedding? Your son's wedding?
Yeah, my son's wedding. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a reason right there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. It is. And it's cool. So parents and such who couldn't be there, grandparents, not parents, but grandparents who couldn't be there, were able to, you know, see that. And then you can keep it around, and it's great. So if you haven't started using it, you should definitely look into it. Anyways, CES. I was talking about CES. 200,000 is kind of what they're estimating this year. A huge conference. All technology, but guys, I followed the press on it. There's nothing exciting anymore that comes out of CES, and I kind of raised the question: is CES dead? You know, is that it? It while attendance still continues to go up, announcements seem to go down. For us enthusiasts, it doesn't seem to be as exciting. Andrew, you were ready to go this year. Do you think you'd have been disappointed if you had been there?
I think I would have been excited by the hype and, you know, the buzz of being in Vegas. But I'm not a huge fan of Vegas itself, but I think, you know, the community of people that would have been there, you know, I think you said if I'd been making the trip, you probably would have made the trip. So, you know, myself, you know, meeting people like Ian Dixon and Andrew Edney, I think for me it would have been more of a social thing to be able to put, you know, names and faces and press the flesh as opposed to the technology, which I think, you know, from my part, the stuff that I was more interested in was, you know, a lot of our branded stuff that's been speculated about for the last little while. So we've had some, we had a new Ultrabook come out, the NV14 Spectre. You know, other vendors have had some of their products in the same genre come out. I wasn't overly interested in what the mobile phone providers are bringing to market. I think we're all fairly au fait with that because we are enthusiasts and, you know, we're all looking towards upgrade paths wherever we can. So for me, it would have been a good social thing, and I think it would have been good to see how CES actually comes to be.
Yeah.
Not having been to one.
Well, I think if you've never been to one, it is an event that you've got to go to at least once.
Yeah.
You know, because it is the entire Las Vegas Convention Center and some. And it's all tech everywhere. I mean, if you enjoy tech at all. And surprisingly, this week Sarah said to me, hey, I'd like to go sometime and do that. So, you know, I'll take her out to Vegas and see how that goes. Christian, any interest in a conference like that? Certainly you'd find that interesting, right?
Yeah, I mean, I find it cool, but like what Andrew said, I think a lot of it too would be, you know, the social element of getting to make those connections with the other people out on the internet, especially because I think the question we should be asking is not whether CES is dead for us as much as is the stuff that's rolling out in the upcoming year dead for us.
There you go.
I mean, was there really any innovating things or pressing new technology? I don't think so. I think a lot of the stuff that was being shown at CES this year was really the definition of for the average guy, things that are going to be showing up in consumer lines that really aren't going to pique the interests of techies like ourselves. So I think that's why they're getting more traffic, is because more average people and more people who are like blogosphere type, not really technical, but are interested in the gadgets and that kind of thing, are saying, this is a great outlet for me. This is a great way to promote my blog. This is a great way to find out about the technology and the other people who are blogging about the same thing. But from like a wow me, this is groundbreaking technology that we're going to see in the next couple of years, I don't really think that's what CES was this year. A lot of it was very, for me at least, casual technology. Things that, yeah, it's some of it's cool, but it's all stuff that's, you know, either already been rolled out in some form or we already knew was coming. So I think that's why we're getting the kind of feeling that everyone's been talking about.
Yeah, I think even looking at, you know, like the Microsoft keynote, you know, I think last year, the 2011 one, there was a bit more of the rah-rah. So the, you know, they sort of got the crowd pumped up. And, you know, when we were live casting it, I think we all sort of, at the end of it, sort of sat back and went, oh, that was a bit flat.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah, you know, I was expecting it to be, you know, kind of like a Tupperware party, you know, with the woo, you know, here's Microsoft, woo, Windows 8, woo, Windows
Steve
5.
Steve Ballmer in a Tupperware. That's an interesting combo.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I was expecting, you know, the pitch that got everyone pumped and everyone was, you know, jumping out of their seats and, it was like they didn't have anyone working the crowd before they started. And something like that for me, you know, they need to have a good entertainer out there, not a Ryan Seacrest who's out there getting everyone all piped or pumped up before they actually get out there and start pimping the product.
Or better yet, not a Steve Ballmer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, so if Ballmer had got up and done the developers dance, I mean, everyone would have been stoked by that, you know?
Did you expect, I mean, when was the last time Microsoft had a keynote that they had something groundbreaking come out?
Probably
Windows 95.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that probably is it. I did not expect them to come out anything groundbreaking. If they would have come out with the new Xbox, that would have shocked me. I did not expect it, and just like I didn't expect it, they didn't come out with it. But if had he have come out with it, that would have been something.
Yeah. And what they did come out with for Xbox, we didn't see anyway because of the NDAs around it.
But I mean... Right. If you want a definition of entertainment and advertisement at a demonstration, the guy who did IOSafe was phenomenal in that regard. I mean, he really put some entertainment to the discussion, and you know, he made people become interested in the product and the technology, not so as much as because it's like this really secure hard drive, but you know, he's sitting here having a guy in an electric proof suit, you know, putting himself on fire and throwing up the hard drive to the electricity. So I think that is your definition of entertainment at something like a keynote.
Yeah, I think, you know, Microsoft has just gotten boring, and you don't ever hear an exciting keynote from IBM. You know, these big companies, they move slowly, they move calculated, they're not willing to take risks. When they used to be a company that take a lot of risks, they did get their hands slapped for it. They'd announce something coming out early that wasn't quite ready, and then they would be late, and people would be upset, and so they're kind of damned if they do and damned if they don't. They could do a lot better, and they could have somebody work in the crowd before. I mean, when Ryan Seacrest cracked that first joke and nobody laughed, and he was like, "Come on, people, you've got to get a comedian or somebody out there ahead of the keynote to get that crowd warmed up."
Now, they're not doing a keynote next year, are they?
No, they're out. They're out now.
So who will?
Nobody knows. Yeah, it has not yet been decided who will take that
Apple
slot.
Apple doesn't go to the conference, right?
No, they've been out for a couple years now.
Will Microsoft go to the conference?
They're out altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're leaving CES, which I think actually helps CES in some ways. I don't think it hurts them. I think it helps them. It'll be more space and we won't be talking about them.
Yeah,
you know,
that's just what they need. Less people talking about them.
Yeah.
Now, I say that I'm a fan, but don't they have their own conference called Build or something like that?
Yeah, they will continue to have their own conferences that they do. Yeah, and they host a couple every year and change the names of them to protect the innocent and those kinds of things. Yeah, yeah. So I guess just to wrap that discussion up, I think CES is you know, long live CES at this point. I think it's, and to your point, Christian, I think you're right. I think this year there was a lot of things that came out that were consumer grade, really consumer grade, average guy stuff. We saw some TVs that are super thin and super bright and super big, and nobody, for the most part, geeks out on their TV. They just buy it and put it in, you know, and they buy it because it's thin and light, and they just use it. They don't tear it apart. They don't reinstall the operating system every 6 months.
Hey, well, with the Chrome TVs, you never know.
They don't hack them for the most part. So interesting.
You know, the thing with a TV is it's a family, in a lot of cases, it's a family product. It's not like your PC where you can do it. You know, you got the wife's acceptance factor with the TV, and she doesn't want it to be down all the time. She wants to click the button to come on. She watches her show.
Right. No, and same in my house.
And a TV is also something I don't want to have to buy new every couple of years. I expect that thing to last 5 to 10 years.
Now you know why everyone's so intimidated about making Media Center their primary television.
Yeah. Well, and good luck with, you know, I bought a brand new Samsung TV 2 years ago, and it's already way out of date from a software perspective. I mean, it doesn't have the right ports. It's not internet enabled. I mean, it's just like, I just bought that thing 2 years ago, and that's how fast TVs are moving.
Yeah, I guess something like a TV, though, you can always buy like the smart TV add-on box, but it sort of it doesn't really give you that it doesn't really close that gap out, does it? Because it's kind of like using an HTPC. You're still upgrading something in the back end to stay with the curve.
Yeah. Well, that's one way to stay up to date, though.
Yeah,
I mean, if your TV gets out, you upgrade your extenders until the TV breaks, and then make the next jump.
Right.
So, okay. Well, enough on CES. I've talked that stuff to death this week, and I'm ready to be done with it for sure. Andrew, since you got back, you've kind of gone on or at least you've committed to some exercise and getting out, and you're going to use a little technology to help.
Yeah, I've decided that I need to lose about 20 kilos, so what's that?
All right, let's go to the Imperial system, please.
That's about 44 pounds, isn't it?
Oh, wait. Christian, you could have converted that in your head.
Times 2.23, yeah, so 42.
Yeah, I'll work on 2.2. I'm not a bit lazier than that. Yeah. So I've started looking at... I've started doing a bit of running with an interval-based training regime using a podcast by a guy called Robert Ulrey, who I think you and I've spoken about in the past, Jim. Along with the podcast, which I'm playing on the built-in MP3 player on my Android phone, I'm also using RunKeeper so that I can look at my pace and the route that I'm taking, and so I can start building comparisons between where I'm at now and say where I'm at in 3 months' time and 4 months' time, 5 months' time. And I've got a target for this time next year to do a run down here in Victoria, which is called Two Bays, which is, I think, about 35 kilometres. And it goes pretty much straight over the top of a mountain range.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Can I warn you a little bit?
Yeah.
Don't tweet your runkeeper.
I thought
I don't think Dave follows me on Twitter that closely, so no one will get that upset.
I think Mike Fauché and Die Hard love to get those tweets.
Yeah, well, DeLeo was the worst about those. Tim DeLeo, he used to just rib me about those endlessly, and that is kind of a tech hazard with those. You know, I posted them to Twitter, and some folks were maybe inspired by them, others were turned off. You can't, you know, win all the people all the time, but be careful about who you let know, especially, you know, I was running every day, and people just get sick of, I ran 6 miles in 47 minutes.
Yeah, I stopped following you.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
That's why Jim stopped following you.
Yeah, it's a vicious circle.
That's RunKeeper. It's a free app. RunKeeper Pro is still free.
Yep, on Android, iPhone, Palm, I think. Pretty much every mobile OS. Yeah.
Used to be $10, and they did a promo last January at this time, and it was so successful it actually beat Angry Birds out as the number one podcast downloaded in the month of January 2011.
Really?
And if you think about that, Angry Birds, that was at the height of the Angry Bird
craze.
Runkeeper beat it out. And because it would, like I said, it went from $10 to free, and everybody just snagged it. It's the best time of the year to do something like that. Everybody's making, you know, New Year's resolutions. Mm. And it's still free. They kept it free. So if you're looking for an app, if you run, if you walk, if you use the treadmill, any kind of exercise, Runkeeper on your Android phone, iPhone, you can do it right on the computer. You don't even have to have a smartphone. Storyboard in chat had mentioned that he uses his Garmin 305, and you can download that and sync it right with your Runkeeper stats. My guy that I run with at work all the time does that, and he actually tags me on the run, and that automatically updates my Runkeeper but doesn't update anybody else. So that's how I've kind of silenced my Runkeeper, is he has put the miles in for me because we run the same distance, same time, and it just automatically syncs to my stats. So it's a good way of doing it too. I do have my eyes on a little Garmin 110. The Garmin series now is, it was 105, 205, 305, no, 205, 305, 405. Now those are 110, 210, and 310, I believe. Really nice. If you've seen the Garmins with that runners wear, the old ones, they're basically a microcomputer on your wrist. I mean, they're a good chunk of plastic, right? And I could just never run with that much stuff on my wrist. If you can, great. Hey, more power to you. I'm not saying you can't do it. I just don't like it. But the new Garmins are actually like real watches. They're just good size. And the one time, my eye on a 110. So if anybody out there, you know, wants to give me a birthday gift on May 26th, which is my birthday, Garmin.
You got a microphone for your birthday.
I did. I got this microphone from you for my birthday. Thank you.
Yeah. I think the other thing that if you're into geeking out your exercise regimes, one of these watches is they're a nice thing too, because if you're looking to improve your thoracic and cardio fitness, they also track your heart rate against your elevation changes and the like as well. So
yeah, and I can't wear the heart rate monitor, so that's not something I like to do.
Oh, dang, your video went froze.
I know, I saw that. I was wondering before somebody would say, hey, your video froze.
I was hoping it would stay like that.
Andrew, what else do you got?
Oh, what else do I have? I don't really have a lot else at the moment.
I think that covered it. All right, let's make the transition into Christian's Corner.
All right, well, Christian's Corner is short because Christian's Corner has been diffused by CES fanatics, and so I'm trying to avoid all CES news and keep things simple in a week of chaos. So I put in two interesting articles for the week. First one is that Thursday, hence today, the ICANN has decided to take a new step in the internet history, and the revolution of .com. Whatever you want, domains has finally arrived. If you're a webmaster, you're very used to buying, you know, .com, .org, .net. Well, now I could buy .jimcollison and make a whole app network, and before you know it, I could have the average guy .anything. And
as long as it's not .com, .net,
yeah,
.org,
you'd be good to go. So a couple questions this raises for me that I haven't really answered for myself yet is like, okay, so a lot of the high Fortune 500 companies, they buy out all those extensions so that no one can, you know, get like google.tv and then say, oh, hey, we're Google. Now that it can be dot anything, what does that mean for those companies? If someone starts, you know, spoofing, you know, google.coo and someone mistypes the address in the URL bar and doesn't know the difference, that could be an issue. But I think they're trying to promote creativity and encourage application design. So it's going to be interesting to see how they implement it and how successful it's going to be. And more importantly, what the price range is going to be.
I was just going to say, any idea what that's going to be?
It's not cheap.
It can't be. I mean, there's got to be a barrier to entry on that.
At 185 grand.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
185?
Yeah.
Well, it's good.
That's right. Yeah. At 185,000 per application, estimated startup costs of $500,000 and annual costs of about 100,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll register Morris just so I can be Andrew at Morris. Not a problem.
it needs to be expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't want everybody on the planet creating those things.
Yeah, no trolls, please.
I think you can see your Googles and your Microsofts and companies like that picking it up, but I don't even think someone like HP would pick that up, to be honest.
Oh, it's a lot to maintain.
They'd probably lock it in, but I don't think that we'd actually use it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there might be an application where it's, you know, something .microsoft or MST or something along those lines. You never know. I mean, who knows where the future of that's going. I just don't want the average guy buying that stuff. That does not need to happen.
Definitely not.
That would be horrific.
Just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Christian.
When you're browsing on the web, you may come across it someday, soon, perhaps.
Well, you know, when you strike it big time, Christian, we'll all just sit back and, you know, we'll all be at Johnson as well.
Yes. I've already figured out I'm going to work for Christian someday.
It's not too far off, John.
I know that's coming.
You won't even realize when it happens.
No. I'll be like, holy crap, how did this happen? What else you got, Christian?
What else do I have? I have a really strange story. Well, about strange people. There's an article in Tech News World this week about your brain being addicted to the internet, just like you would be addicted to a drug or alcohol, and that the Chinese Academy of Sciences used MRIs to actually scan the brain of mostly adolescents, and some of them were classified as having what has now been officially coined as Internet Addiction Disorder, or IAD, saying that the people who were diagnosed with it had no concept of real world and understanding how to function and work in the real world. So I thought that was rather interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. My wife would probably say that I fall into that category because everywhere we go, I'm, you know, checking in Foursquare or, you know, I'm checking on something on the web or...
Well, you know, the claim is that's changing your brain chemistry, so...
Yeah, permanently attached to a mobile device connected to the internet.
Nobody checks in at Foursquare anymore, Andrew.
Most of those people are on Facebook.
That explains why I own the leaderboard.
Yes. Yeah. Facebook check-ins have taken over, I think.
Yeah. You see that there's now 850 million people on Facebook?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah,
Does anyone know what the actual official ratio between Facebook users and MySpace users are now?
Oh, it's got to be. Is MySpace even? Can you even go to MySpace?
My what?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, let's see what Alexa has to say about MySpace, because I'm personally interested. So if you're not interested, I'm sorry. You're going to get bored for about, like,
Rennie says 50 to 1. That's what he says.
50 to 1? Well, to one. Alexa,
I would have thought it was much bigger than that.
Alexa rates MySpace as having a traffic ranking of 109, which means it's the 109th most visited site on the internet.
Wow.
In the
U.S.
That's
a little higher than I thought.
And Facebook is number 2.
What's number 1?
Google.
Is that all Google properties or just Google.com?
Google.com. The top 500 site list is Google, Facebook, YouTube, Yahoo, Baidu, Wikipedia, Windows Live, Blogspot, Amazon, Twitter, QQ, Google India, MSN.
AverageGuy.tv.
Yeah.
Google India.
LinkedIn.
Well, think about the population in India.
Yeah.
Now get this, guys. Get this. WordPress. Any guesses?
15.
18.
Ah.
18. WordPress.
One ahead of.
.com or .org?
.com.
.com.
Okay. One ahead of Wikipedia.
No, one ahead of.
17.
It starts with an E and ends with a bay.
eBay.
Yep.
Oh, good guess.
Where's Amazon?
Amazon.
There were seven, weren't there? Something like that?
Nine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. BIOS mods, it's getting pretty close, fellas.
where was Bing?
Bing is 26.
26.
That's far down.
PayPal's 33.
And that's BIOS-mods.com.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Can you put that link? Are you in chat where you can put that link in chat?
BIOS-mods.com.
Oh, yes, indeed. Quite.
Oh, no, you're looking for the statistics, Mike.
Yeah, statistics.
Yeah, oh, that link.
Just go to alexa.com and everything will come up.
We'll drop that in the show notes.
Yep. Alexa.com is the way to go.
Does that wrap it up for Christian's Corner?
I think that about wraps it up. I don't want to stress people out with all this CSS Chinese junk and, you know, all this trash talking about how it's becoming a social revolution. So Christian's Corner is shutting down for the week. It's going to pipe down and leave it to the rest of the...
Well, thanks for doing Christian's Corner.
Not a problem.
Mike, what's new in photography? I mean, what are you guys talking about over there at JPEG to RAW?
They're talking about cameras.
Talking about cameras. There's a new beta for Lightroom 4 out. What?
I think they're mocking you.
Christian, they're talking about cameras. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Just ignore him, Mike. Keep going.
I did. Okay, good. It's okay. I've given Christian some ribbon before. He can give it back to me. That's okay.
Some zingers.
But Lightroom 4, if you are a photographer and use, you know, Lightroom right now, the current version is 3, and that's what we use to edit RAW files. You know, you use that or Photoshop. And the new beta for Lightroom 4 is out. It's a public beta. You can go there and download it and give it a try. I'd actually downloaded it as we're waiting for Andrew to come in. And I'll probably install it on a virtual machine this weekend and give it a try.
What do you think the upgrade cost will be for that?
Probably like $99 or so.
That's pretty standard for Adobe.
Yeah, I think the full version is, you can find it as cheap as $130. I've seen it normally for $189, you know, $200. If you get the educator version, you know, you have somebody who has a .edu email address, it's a full version. There's no difference. That's how I got mine, and I got it for $79, the full version.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, you know, I'll go ahead and pay probably normal upgrade price to go to Lightroom 4. And what it adds is, you know, believe it or not, Lightroom 3 does not have a way to email from the program. So I often want to email something from Lightroom, and I will output it to the disk, then copy them into my email and send it that way. They've added that. They've added a lot of, I won't go into details here, but a lot of additional photo editing capabilities. They've added a lot more features to the video editing side of it, you know, because video is being added more and more to the SLR cameras. And other things like the ability to create photo books from Lightroom.
And the difference between Lightroom and Photoshop?
Photoshop is you know, the Swiss Army knife. It does everything. Okay. It is the king of everything, and it can be overkill. There's a lot it can do, and it can get very complicated. And I tell a lot of photographers, you know, the best thing, if you can afford it, is to have both. To do all your you know, Lightroom is also what they call a digital asset management. I think that's what it's called, a DAM, yeah. Where you import all your photos in there, you tag them, you keyword them, you do all this stuff. That's where you organize all your photos. You can do editing in there of, you know, exposure and white balance and all that kind of stuff. But if you want to do some heavy editing that's going to require layers, you output it to Photoshop, do your editing back there, and then bring it back into Lightroom.
So Lightroom, you can't do layers?
You can't do layers in Lightroom. Okay. Lightroom, everything in Lightroom is supposed to be, and I assume they kept this with 4, non-destructive. So you have a raw image, and all your adjustments are just a sidecar file telling it, you know, what those adjustments are.
Light balance, cropping, those kinds of things?
Everything, yeah. Okay. Everything in Lightroom is a non-destructive edit. Where in Photoshop, you know, you can do destructive work to the image.
Do you, before you edit it in Photoshop, do you make a copy of it and not work on the only copy that you have then?
Well, when you go to export it from Lightroom, they work very well together. When you go to export it from Lightroom to Photoshop, it will do that for you. It'll ask you, edit an original or edit a copy. And even if you want to edit original, it sends over a TIFF file or a JPEG. It doesn't actually send over the RAW file or a Photoshop file. You tell it in the settings what you want it to send over. And then in Photoshop, as soon as you hit save, it's back in Lightroom with all those adjustments.
Okay, and Photoshop retail is a couple hundred bucks, right?
No, I think it's closer to $600-$700.
Okay, so it's very, very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah. An educator version for that as well?
There is an educator version for that. I don't know what the price is.
Okay.
For that.
Yeah. But it's significantly
$250 to $280, I think, yeah.
3 times more expensive than Lightroom.
Yeah, because Photoshop is not just used by photographers. It's also used by graphic artists. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't know if Andrew knows this. We talked about it on my show a while back, is that Adobe's come up with a new policy that says if you're not on the latest version of Photoshop, then you don't get the upgrade price to the new version of Photoshop. So yeah, people like me will typically wait several versions and not upgrade every version because it's too expensive. You know, the upgrade would probably be $199, something like that. So I wait. But now they've got a policy, and they haven't come back on it yet, but they say if you don't own CS5, Photoshop CS5, which is the latest version, then you don't get the upgrade price to CS6.
Okay, and so 5 to 6. 6 is the newest version?
5 is the one that's out right now. 6 is not out yet.
Okay.
And how significant do you think the changes are in the difference between if I wanted to do something and I had CS5 and my friend had CS6, what would he be able to do that I couldn't do?
I hadn't seen what CS6 has yet, so I don't know. But that point is why I typically don't upgrade every version, is because there's not typically enough in it to justify for me to upgrade every version. I would skip several. And I went from like CS2 to CS5, so I skipped 3 and 4.
And how much of a difference was that for you?
5 added some very good content-aware cloning, so some things like that was really nice, that made it worth it for me. Who knows what CS6 we have, but if they're going to have a policy that says you don't get the upgrade price if you don't upgrade, then you're almost locked into having to upgrade with them every version.
Yeah, and to give you sort of an idea, if you go out at the moment in Australia and you were to buy Photoshop CS5 outright as a full package, it's about $1,100 just for Photoshop.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at the whole Creative Suite, the Master Collection, which is pretty much everything in the Adobe Creative Suite, you're looking at just under $4,500.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It can get very expensive.
Yeah.
You know, Vinyl Freak out in chat had said that he can do most of his stuff in Lightroom, and I've kind of come to the same conclusion that 90% of what I need to do, I can do in Lightroom. But there are those times, you know, when I need to pop out into Photoshop. And one of the things, like right now, I'm shooting my son's swimming, and these are a bunch of teenager high school kids, and they sometimes can have a ton of pimples on their face. Well, there is some cloning that you can do in Lightroom, but it's not nearly as robust. So I will, because it's so easy, knock those photos into Photoshop. I can clone out, make their skin look perfect, bam, back into Lightroom, and it's an easy adjustment. Hadn't heard any feedback from the kids, but I have heard from the parents.
Really, the parents like that, huh?
The parents have noticed. I didn't have to tell them, but they've noticed.
Nice.
Wow, he looks so good. What did you do?
Are you going to be the official photographer for the sports programs there now?
I guess I'm assigned every weekend now. There's the regular person, and then the slash Howard.
No good deed goes unpunished.
But I enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
There's also some really cool stuff in the newer versions of Photoshop. Where if you got, say, someone standing in front of a brick wall and you wanted to get rid of them, you can. The cloning features will actually remove that person and rebuild the brick wall behind them.
That's that content-aware filtering that is just really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exceptionally intelligent. It needs some serious horsepower behind it to do it, but it's just phenomenal how smart it is.
There's other things there too that are really good, but that's content-aware filtering is cloning is probably one of the ones that everybody's aware of. Yeah. The other thing I had, and this is something that I'd like to hear what Andrew's thought on, is in Trey Radcliffe's, Jim's favorite person.
Oh, yeah, I love Trey.
You love Trey. had a post out there that said, is the DSLR dead? Now, DSLR is you know, the digital version of an SLR. SLR is the one where you can change the lenses. It has a mirror inside that flaps up and down every time you take a photo, so you probably heard that thing slap. If you remember a few shows ago, I did that real fast where I had the photo, the camera taking photos real fast, and it was flapping, yeah. Or the thing was flapping, it was making a noise. Well, what he's saying is that the DSLR dead? Is that a dying product? And what he's saying is not going to be replaced by the iPhone, you know. Believe it or not, that's not the end-all, be-all of cameras. But is the mirror going away, and we're going to a translucent mechanism that doesn't move, sort of like the new Sonys that have come out, where you can shoot, you know, 24 megapixels at like 12 frames a second because there's no mirror moving up and down. And that's what he's saying is going to happen in the future. Part of that is that Sony. The other thing is the new Nikon One line that's come out. Mm. And that is the same thing. It's a small, in this case, it's a smaller camera. It's not the full size. My thoughts are that it's probably the case. You know, probably the DSLR is probably going to go away eventually. What are we replaced with? I would think that at first they're going to have to continue that same type of size, the SLR size, so that the lenses are compatible. You know, because you got people who've invested a lot of money in lenses, and you can't just kill that line and expect them to go out and buy, you know, all new lenses that fit this new Nikon One system. So, and the other thing is you want a camera that's got some heft to it, that's got a size, and you can stick it up to your face, and that adds more bracing. You know, these cameras where you got to hold them out like this, like an iPhone, you don't have the same ability to support it, and it's moving too much. So you want a bigger camera that you can stick up to your face, and it will take those lenses.
Yeah.
Hey, we got Christian in here twice.
He must have froze up. Welcome back, Christian.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you. That's so expensive of a line to convert over. They're going to have to keep that body style fairly similar, so those lenses will come on. But this translucent, is it so how does it block the light and then let it in and block it and let it in? How does that actually work?
I don't know really well on that, unfortunately. Okay. But it's you know, letting some of the light in. There has been some disadvantages to it, that it degraded the image slightly, but I think Sony has done a good job, and Nikon with the new Nikon One cameras have done a good job of getting rid of that. It removes that movable part that is a part of that will break and gives you a lot more capability. You could also make it, you know, smaller. And
has that ever broken on you?
No, they're generally rated for anywhere from 150,000 shots up to, you know, in some of the higher ends up to 400,000 shots. So you get a lot of photos before those things will break. But I have heard of people breaking them.
Yeah, I'm sure they have to break from time to time. It just seems like that's a technology that's been around a long time. I'm sure they've got all the kinks worked out of it.
Yeah. But it's still a mechanical device, so, you know, it does break after a amount of time.
Yeah. You know, there seems to be a resurgence in photography. I think we talked about this the last time you were here, and this just seems to be more photographers. And I don't know if that's just because I'm more aware of them because I know you now, or if it really is this surge of folks wanting to take more professional pictures.
Yeah, well, it may also be Google Plus too. You're seeing all the photographers over
there.
That's true. It's a nice place to post shots.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody was asking, how does the mirror affect quality? It's what it's doing is when you look through the little thing, you're looking down at the mirror is pointing out the lens, and you get this direct line. You don't have an electronic viewfinder, so you're getting real time. You know, basically it's mirror. Whenever you take the shot, the mirror pops out of the way and lets the light come through. So it's not really impacting the image. But when you have that translucent filter there, it sits there all the time. So that light's coming through that thing, and, you know, somehow you have an electronic viewfinder on the back, and the light has to come through that translucent filter, or whatever it's called, and that has in the past degraded some of the light. I think they've got it down now to under 5% degrade on the light.
So
hopefully that answers Storyboard's question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of new stuff out there, and, you know, cameras continue to advance technology. I think the average guy uses their phone for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And on my phone, I take pictures and they automatically move up to Google, and I, you know, it's a horribly convenient way of taking pictures. You know, and the quality is pretty good. I think I have an 8-megapixel camera, which is probably an overkill for a little phone like this. I probably only need 3 or 4 maybe to, you know, I'm sure it's not making that big of a difference.
Yeah, you know, that's
a small mirror that I've got.
One of my cameras, I think the one when I was on a while back where I did the fast, you know, photos, where it's taking photos real fast. Yeah, that's much bigger than this phone. You know, it was, I don't have it here so I could show you. But, you know, this phone I think has it may have an 8-megapixel or 5. Maybe it has a 5. That camera I had was a 4-megapixel. So, you know, most people's first impression was, well, obviously your phone is better because it's 5 megapixels and the camera is 4. But you look at that phone, and the sensor inside of that phone is teeny, teeny, teeny. It's very, very small. The sensor inside of my camera is much bigger. So megapixels is not the only thing to judge the image quality by. You know, all megapixels are not equal. Your 8-megapixel camera phone is not going to take nearly as good of pictures as a, you know, even a 4-megapixel nice DSLR.
Rennie says in chat, Drobo makes cameras?
and anybody who hasn't seen Jim in a while, look over his left shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got it in the frame now.
Lights just came on. Yeah, with the turn the studio around and gave you guys a little better picture, something a little better to look at than the washer and dryer.
And the HP box.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, folks.
Come on, Christian, you need to let that go.
It's just ironic that the HP hater and the HP worker are on the same podcast. I just,
it's awesome.
Mike, anything else?
Nope. That's pretty good. Much it.
Well, guys, I do appreciate you coming out tonight, and I've had a long week of podcasting, and I'm anxious to kind of wrap this thing up and be done with the week. Andrew, you'll be around this weekend, I assume, to help me get the show notes out.
I will. I'll get the notes out probably later tonight. I'm batching it at the moment, so
I've got
nothing else to do tonight. She's back tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I want to remind folks, all the coverage from CES is available. If you're interested, maybe this is the first time, maybe you listen to this podcast and not the homeservershow.com, although I find that next to impossible. But if you do and you haven't heard and you want to see some of the stuff we did at CES, head up to the homeservershow.com. And we've got all the archive videos out at the live page, just at the bottom of the page. You can take a peek at those. And some good stuff. So Dave did a nice job, and Dave, thanks for working with me this week. Yeah, he really does a good job at that. Yeah. That's kind of his forte. So next year we'll get him wired up with an actual handheld. Oh, he bought that iRig. We should have talked about that. He bought this iRig, which you can find at any Apple store, and it's basically a microphone like you'd see it, you know, a PA system or a church or something like an SM58. Mm-hmm. It plugs in. It's made for and designed for the iPhone itself, so it plugs right into the whatever that is, 30-pin port that the iPhone has.
Into the smart plug or whatever they call it.
It's proprietary that only Apple has. And then it works. He's been using it today like an interview microphone. We got a lot better sound out of it today than we did in the past. So a pretty cool little microphone. If you have an iPhone and you want to capture some interviewing audio, I think it was $60, and he bought it at the Apple store. So not too 32-pin is what Rennie says.
And the quality was phenomenal. I mean, when Dave was out on the show floor the other day, when we were talking to him when he was out and about, it was just, you know, second rate or first rate. You could you know, you could hear pretty much everything happening around. You know, when Andrew Edney stuck his head in from the side to make the odd bit of side commentary, you got it all. And, you know, the surprising thing for me with that was the fact that there was bandwidth in Vegas with all the journos there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bandwidth held up this year for sure. Mike?
Yeah, that's great.
I was going to say that, you know, Dave did a great job. But also, seeing that he seemed to really enjoy it. And that made it, for me, made it enjoyable too. The fact that he was having a good time, you know, I felt that, and I really like watching him do all that stuff.
Yeah, he's very passionate about that.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. It was fun for me. It made the time fly by this week as I sat here every afternoon, kind of doing the, you know, the Walter Cronkite, you know, just the reporting, you know, now going live to Dave at CES. type stuff. It was a blast. I had a good time, and you know, I mean, I kept this near to me. You know, I've got a show pass right there that I didn't get to use. But you know what? It was kind of fun just to stay here and do it kind of through him. And we got a lot of stuff done. Last year by this time, we were both exhausted. We had a ton of video and audio and was dreading having to come back and put it all together.
Yeah.
And this year we have, we must have 25 videos over at homeservershow.com now that are all ready to go. I mean, for the most part, they're live, they're ready. Folks can just consume them, and they're on a variety of topics, so that instantly made it better. So,
you know, it doesn't mean somebody has to stay behind, but I think that it worked really well having you there and be able to be the producer while Dave was out there.
Yeah. He's a good guy to work with, and I enjoyed staying back. Well, I enjoyed you guys staying back as well, and Mike Howard, thanks for joining us like you do every seventh week out here at the Home Tech Podcast. Good to have you. Of course, you're at jpeg2ra.com, and that is a very vibrant photo community, and if you're into photography at all, you might want to head over there and check that out. Christian, great having you as well. I know you're a busy guy with all your AP stuff and homework and probably the smartest high school student in America, but we're glad you came out from bios-mods.com. Thanks, Christian.
Not a problem, guys. Good to be on.
And Andrew, I know you sacrificed today, your lunch hour, to be with us today, and you had to come off holiday, but eventually all holidays end. Thanks for being here.
All good things come to an end is what they say, isn't it?
They do say that, and I tell you what, I could use a holiday, and maybe an Aussie holiday.
Yeah,
in the land of wonder, in the land down under.
There you go.
Sorry, I had to use that. If you grew up in the 80s, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Men at work.
Well, guys,
I played that this morning on my truck.
Say that again, Mike.
I was playing this morning in my truck.
Really?
What do you mean the 80s?
Thanks for coming out and being with us on the Home Tech Podcast. We'll do it all again next week. If you have questions or comments, like to send us suggestions on things you'd like to have us do besides CES, send us or send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. You can find us on Facebook or in iTunes. Just search for the Average Guy Podcast Network. Any of those should get you right there. And we'll be back next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, for another podcast. Have a great weekend and a good night.